Beltway Talk Radio News. Ellen Ratner joins us. Ellen, what's the latest? What are they doing?
Well, of course, we're talking and things could change throughout the night, but essentially they are punting because Speaker Boehner gave a speech today or a briefing today and said, hey, we have, you know, we're going to go through this and then it's going to go to the Senate tonight and then it's up to them. And, of course, that was supposed to happen at 5:45, and hours later, still no vote. Now, the Senate said that they're going to take up that bill as soon as it comes through. But so far, I mean, these guys better be getting cots in the Senate because that's going to be a late night for them.
Yeah, and I also heard something that, okay, so this keeps going, and if worse comes to worse, forget it. Hey, we're going to work through the weekend. So is that true? They're going to plan on that, too?
Oh, they have no choice.
Yeah, because they're out of time.
Have to work through the weekend, yes.
Yeah. So what does that mean? Do they get a lot of pizzas delivered to the Capitol? Do they take any breaks?
Well, you know, at one point during the Democrats, they actually literally brought in cots.
Oh, that's funny. They brought in cots, huh? Well, there's still a lot of name-calling going on. I mean, that hasn't, you know, you and I were talking about this. That hasn't ratcheted down at all. I saw something where Pelosi today was saying, look, the Republicans are just trying to dismantle the public sector. They're not trying to do anything to reduce the deficit. They're jacking with the middle class, pretty much. I'm taking a little liberty with that tail end of that. But that's what she said, essentially. And then you had Eric Cantor, who was saying about Harry Reid, pass this bill or the default is your responsibility. It's your
problem.
Well,
that's exactly what they were saying. They were saying that if Harry Reid has three choices, to put cut cap and whatever that is, that bill from last week,
sure,
put that bill up, put this quote-unquote compromise bill of John Boehner's, which isn't much of a compromise, and put that up, or the default is going to be on your head. That's
all
really
right,
how he put it.
Yeah, so everybody's there, and we'll see where it goes.
Oh, it's a full house up at the Capitol.
Yeah. All right. I remember you said in one of our previous conversations you wouldn't want to even handicap this because who knows?
Exactly. I mean, this is one scary bunch of deals.
Yeah, no kidding. Ellen Ratner, Talk Radio News. You have a good one. Has all the cards on the table. At this point, who knows? It's like a wicked game of hold'em, and you're not really sure who's holding maybe the aces when it comes down to the river card that could actually push them over the top, meaning the Democrats or the Republicans. So the House Republicans are challenging the Senate Democrats, but there's no House vote. They end the day with no vote on Boehner's plan. So now it's going to happen Friday. He definitely does not have enough people to pass this sucker, or they would have taken that vote. That means with all that he's doing to have this go through, a lot of the Republicans, the freshmen who were elected, said no, and they're going the way of the Tea Party and digging in and drawing the line. So I don't think he gets this done, even on Friday. Now, working through the weekend, do the math, we're out of time as far as that August 2nd deadline is concerned. That'll be here before you know it. The Democrats are already warning the Speaker that he's wasting his time anyway, so why bother trying to get the votes? Because we're not going to support it at all. We're not going to support this in the Senate. So go ahead and take the vote, do whatever you want, but we're going to toss it out. It ain't happening. The House has approved what's known as the rule for the bill. That happened. 238-186, that was earlier in the day, right? On Thursday, Boehner was really pushing, saying, let's pass the bill, end the crisis, let's do this. And really, both parties are off racing. Like I said, they're at the table holding the cards. Who knows what the river card is? Because that's what August 2nd is. If you know anything about poker, that's what it is. It's the final card that you're waiting for. You don't know what card is going to come up. And the finger pointing, the blame game, we were just talking about it there. Absolutely. It's scary what's happening. They're like kids on a school yard who are playing a game of kickball, and suddenly it bursts into a fight. I mean, this is nasty stuff. Pelosi, as I just mentioned, what she had to say, threw in later in the day, you can save the world from the Republican budget and save life on the planet as we know it. So really, it doesn't matter because the Senate isn't going to pass it, and I believe that. Harry Reid still has a bill on the Senate side, and it is like a blank check, but it doesn't matter. He's got that in his back pocket. That's what he's going to want to pull out. And it's not the Boehner thing is not going to happen. All right, coming up this hour of America Tonight, huge story. Besides what's going on in Washington and how that affects us, because it does, folks. I mean, listen, we're not beating this to death for no reason. It affects all of us. Even if you're not drawing Social Security right now, trust me, down the line it does. If you own a house, it could affect you. Because what does it mean? What does it mean if there's nothing but negative, chaotic news being pumped out? That's the other part of it. If it's henny penny, the sky is falling all over the place, and you look at the reaction to that, that negative news, that's part of this story. The back and forth, the nonsense. So here's something that happened earlier in the day, though. Huge, huge story. An AWOL infantry soldier was caught with weapons, had a bomb in a backpack, and said he was planning to go after soldiers at Fort Hood. That would have been the second terrorist attack there in less than 2 years. And he really might have succeeded, folks, because he looked the part. He was a soldier. He is a soldier. He could have gotten there easily. 21 years old. Nasser Abdu. He was arrested at a hotel 3 miles from the main gate of Fort Hood. He said he had spoken out against the shootings last year, and he decided that he didn't want to be part of this war any longer, so he made a plea to be granted conscientious objector status to avoid serving in Iraq or Afghanistan. But like Major Hassan, the soldier who was, of course, charged with killing 13 people 2 years ago, Abdu is a Muslim. And in an essay that he apparently wrote, that somebody in the media got a hold of, he says in it that the attacks ran against his beliefs and were an act of aggression by a man and not Islam. Apparently, he changed his mind. He went absent without leave from Fort Campbell, Kentucky, during the July 4th weekend, and then he tried to get a gun at a store near the Kentucky area, Kentucky Post, where he was. He ends up in Killeen, Texas, and he ends up going into Guns Galore. That's where Major Hassan went. Terrorism expert Jeff Atticott breaks it down with us next on ATN.
Don't let summer be a bummer. Stop sunburn pain, poison ivy, and mosquito bite itch, and the burn of athlete's foot with just one Safol natural first aid product, Dermatol. Many GCN listeners have already discovered how effective Dermatol is as a natural, non-acidic way to treat cuts, burns, bites, rashes, shingles, boils, and many skin problems. Now this special offer. Buy one bottle of Dermatol, get one bottle free. Call 1-800-217-6677 and mention GCN. Dermatol is the must-have first aid product for your preparedness kit. Made in America by Americans, Dermatol's soothing, rapid restoration of injured skin is so effective, it's guaranteed. Call 800-217-6677. That's 800-217-6677. And ask for the GCN Buy One, Get One Free Special, or use coupon code GCN at checkout at DermatolUSA.com. Spelled DermatolUSA.com. Efficient, economical, effective. Spray it all with Dermatol.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado, and to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. But it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com. Big news today. A Muslim American Army private who was AOL was picked up near Fort Hood, and he told investigators when they picked him up that he wanted to attack some soldiers at the military base. And, of course, what military base are we talking about? Again, as I mentioned, Fort Hood. Remember the scene of that massacre, Major Hassan, which we're still waiting to see the outcome of what happens with him. So here we go again. This time it was private Nasser Abdu, who's expected to face federal charges. Always when we hit this kind of stuff, we go to terrorism expert Jeff Atticott. Jeff, thanks for spending some time with us here on America Tonight. Here we go again. What was your initial reaction to this?
Well, you know, thank goodness we had a fast-acting clerk, because he was identified as a suspicious character at a gun shop by the name of Guns Galore, and that's the same gun shop where Major Hassan bought guns and ammunition to slaughter people at Fort Hood. So the same gun shop, this guy went into that gun shop to buy more guns, and an alert clerk saw something untoward and notified authorities. That's how we caught him. It wasn't because, that anybody in the military was following him or he had raised red flags. So that led to a search of his car, his apartment. They found dry powder. They found explosives. They found weapons. And, of course, apparently he is told authorities that he was intending to go into Fort Hood and kill soldiers. And he was a AWOL, absent without leave soldier himself, from Kentucky earlier this week. He had left his post without leave.
Wow. And if that hadn't happened like you described, with the gun shop manager being so alert and calling the police, they just felt that something was wrong with that. If that hadn't happened, what are the chances he would have gotten away with it? I'd say they'd be pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good. Apparently, he was he had accumulated this stuff, and he had his target set, was going to go back to Fort Hood, obviously in solidarity with Major Hassan, who was another Muslim soldier, an officer this time, that had slaughtered people. So this fellow was going to go in and do the same thing. And I think we can probably see this is an emerging pattern in this country.
Mm.
We've seen it in other countries. We saw it in Norway, of course, just recently, not Muslim-connected. But we've certainly seen this time and time again in other countries. In India and Mumbai, we had a group of individuals that were very paramilitary in organization. They killed hundreds of people. And that's what radical Islam wants to do. They want to kill. And they are large in numbers. A lot of people are distracted by the Norway incident, but that is not a pattern. That's one person, lone wolf terrorist. these guys are acting in their individual timetables, but they're all pledging allegiance to radical Islam. So that's what binds them all together.
So what does the Army do, or any branches of the military for that matter, to try to thwart this?
Well, we've got about 2,000 to 3,000 Muslims in the Army, and the Army is, of course, a giant organization. And I still believe that the vast majority of Muslims in the U.S. military are as patriotic or more patriotic than the average non-Muslim soldier, because they are targeting themselves for great disdain by radical Islam. We have to remind ourselves that radical Islam has killed more Muslims than Christians or Jews. So we do have bad apples, though, and this guy is another bad apple. And so obviously the Army is going to have to start screening individuals a little bit more closely, running those psychological tests on people. We try to raise the standards to get high school graduates and have psychological tests. But there were some red flags with this fellow. He'd only been in the military less than a year. He was going to deploy to Afghanistan and all of a sudden, you know, got religion and wanted to apply for conscientious objection, objector status because of his Muslim faith.
Right.
And that was turned down initially, and then it was granted, then he went AWOL. But those were red flags. You know, anybody that says they don't want to go fight because it's, you know, they're going to be killing fellow Muslims, that's a red flag right there. For example, when we were fighting in Bosnia, you know, you wouldn't find a Christian soldier that said, well, I don't want to go fight Christians. But when you see a Muslim saying that he doesn't want to go fight Muslims, that's obviously something that required further scrutiny.
Yeah. Do you think the soldiers on the base should be armed now as a result of here we go, almost happened again?
Well, you know, we certainly should have the officers and senior enlisted personnel should be allowed to carry firearms. Perhaps the junior enlisted folks, probably not a good idea because many of them are not familiar with firearms and, you know, not as mature, but certainly officers, you know, if we can trust them to command soldiers, they can certainly be trusted with carrying a firearm in general. So I'm all for arming officers and NCOs. And you know, that's part of what their duty is, to meet, engage, and kill the enemy. They can certainly carry firearms around, and we're always going to have that one bad apple, two bad apples. Tragically, that's just, you know, the new normal, and we have to be prepared. But our best preparation is a common citizen. That's how this guy got caught. Somebody noticed, you know, untoward activity and notified authorities. That's the first line of defense in this war on terror.
Yeah. We're going to continue this conversation across America, 800-259-5791, if you want to throw in your two cents. Jeff Atticott, terrorism expert and our friend, thanks so much for coming on the show. And you heard what Jeff had to say there. Here we go again with the homegrown terrorist, a guy who is, and he was clear to say this, a guy who is a Muslim who decides he doesn't like what's happening in the military and becomes an objector, a conscientious objector, as we said, and then makes his way to Fort Hood because he's drawn there, I'm sure, after what happened in 2009 when Major Hassan went on a shooting spree that left 13 people dead. And we're still waiting to find out what the outcome ultimately of that's going to be. He's been charged in those killings. So Killeen has been this weird center for some strange happenings. This the one thing in Fort Hood, possibly the second thing. And somebody told me today, because I have a cousin who lived in that area, that in 1991, there was a guy who crashed his pickup into a cafeteria, Luby's cafeteria, famous around Texas, and shot, just opened fire and shot 23 people. It was a terrible thing, and wounded 20 others before he killed himself. In fact, there was a woman, and I may have told this story before, I guess that my cousin knew, there was a woman who had had a weapon, you know, concealed and carry and all that, in the truck. If the weapon had been on her, she might have been able to get the guy, George Henard, who did that. But regardless, this has to do now with this shop in Texas after what happened with Hassan, because that's where Hassan got his weapons. It was good that they were alert and knew something was weird, that he was suspicious, and decided, you know what, maybe we need to call the Killeen Police Department. And they did that. So they averted narrowly a tragedy relating to radical Islamic terror, another terror attack on our largest military base. Thank goodness. I mean, thank goodness. And you heard in that conversation with Jeff, what can you do? And the only thing you can do is be more vigilant. In the case of the people in the shop, because it had happened before to guns galore, that's where Hassan bought his weapons, supposedly, that were used in the attack. I'm sure that they had their backs up a little more and are alert to, ooh, this, it looks funny, something's off. So they called the cops and said, gunpowder, shotgun ammunition, magazine for semi-automatic handgun, just doesn't feel right. And the guy at the shop was a retired police officer. And he said what happened was he was browsing for, you know, almost a half an hour. And then he picked up 6 1-pound canisters of smokeless gunpowder. So then he said the man, he said that he asked the store owner questions about what the whole smokeless powder thing does. And that, I think, really tipped them off because he was picking up so much of it yet didn't really know what it would do and why he needed that much and all that stuff. I mean, that was a serious, serious red flag. So the cops track him down to the hotel room like we talked about and find all that stuff. The battery-operated clocks, all of that. The shotgun shells, they were being actually pulled apart for the explosives. So can you imagine what could have happened at Fort Hood? What a disaster that might have been for those people to go through that again. Oh, my, oh, my. He wanted to attack the Fort Hood troops. You heard me ask Jeff there, and he paused. I asked him about arming people on the base, and he agreed that anybody, you know, an NCO, any of those people, certainly should be armed. And I think that should happen across the board. No question there. What do you think? 800-259-5791. Meet you on the flip side.
For centuries, silver has been used as a powerful natural antibiotic, and as a listener to this station, you probably already know the benefits of using colloidal silver. With so many websites to choose from, finding a reputable, patriotic company with great products at affordable prices can be a difficult task. Introducing UtopiaSilver.com. UtopiaSilver.com carries the best, most effective, and most affordable colloidal silver and colloidal gold products in the industry. UtopiaSilver.com also carries products to fit your lifestyle, including weight loss, immune system defense, cleanses, herbs, joint and bone care, and much more. First-time customers using promo code GCN50 will receive 50% off all colloidal products. Visit us today at Utopia Silver, that's UTOPIA Silver, utopiasilver.com, or call 888-213-4338. That's 888-213-4338. UtopiaSilver.com, taking back America's healthcare one American at a time.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio?
Something more important.
Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Are you tired of spending money for metal canning lids year after year? Then stop. Stop buying metal lids and get Tatler reusable canning lids. Made of USDA and FDA-approved food-grade plastic, Tatler canning lids let you safely store emergency preparedness foods for years. Traditional metal lids are single-use throwaways that contain BPA, but Tatler canning lids are indefinitely reusable and guaranteed to last a lifetime when used as designed for home canning and contain no BPA. Tatler lids are dishwasher-safe, perfect for standard pressure or water bath canning, eliminate food spoilage from acid corrosion, fit standard mason jars, and are proudly made in the USA. Place orders by phone at 877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's 1-877-747-2793 or go to reusablecanninglids.com. That's reusablecanninglids.com. Tatler Reusable Canning Lids, the original since 1976.
What would you do with a check for $25,000? What if you could eliminate all of your credit card debt in 90 days and keep all of your money? Hi, I'm Jason Davenport, and I've just completed ZeroDebt100.com, a program that stops and prevents debt collections of all kinds, including debt collectors and foreclosures, with guaranteed results. Forget loan modification. Zero Debt showed me how to get the banks to pay my property taxes and insurance while stopping my foreclosure without paying one dime. An attorney tried to garnish my wages, but the court denied his request because of what I filed from the Zero Debt program. Find out how I did this by calling Zero Debt today at 800-477-9256. Tell them Jason sent you and ask for the Zero Debt special and the free bonus promotion about stopping an IRS levy and getting your money back. Tell them Jason sent you and call 800-477-9256. 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256. Or visit www.zerodebt100.com.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild Chagan birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild Chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Whoa, you know, you know, you know, you know, you must have been a beautiful baby. You must have been a beautiful child. When you were only starting to go to kindergarten, I bet you drove those other childs wild. Oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, when it came to winning Blue Ribbon. Well, I bet you taught the other kids how. Well, I can see the judge's eyes as they handed you the prize. I bet you took the cutest bow. Yeah, you must have been a beautiful baby.
So we're heading into another weekend here across America. Hope you have some great plans. Would you believe it's the end of July already and so much happening? Serious things that definitely have some blowback for all of us. Whether you're in the East Coast, the West, the South, you're listening to me in the flyover states, my beloved flyover states, or somewhere else. But the House ends the day without a debt vote, and that's really not going to go anywhere anyway because the Senate absolutely will not approve Boehner's plan. I mean, this is the Democrats, the Republicans, two completely different ideas about what to do with the debt ceiling in lifting it, and how to pay, and ultimately what the repercussions are. And then there is the third party. Because really, the Republicans who lean toward the Tea Party way are not getting on board with the, I'll call them more mainstream Republicans. I don't think that's really the right word, but for lack of a better way to describe it. Because really, there's a lot of splinter groups in the Republican Party, ultra-conservative, evangelicals, Tea Party now has emerged in the past year and a half, and, you know, the Tea Party folks are tired of big government, are tired of no action, and I'm on board with a lot of the things that they've said in the past, and when I say they, because it's kind of like this elusive group. It's hard to put your arms around it. There are different people who are running sort of factions of the Tea Party. And it's a movement. I mean, really, it's a movement. And it's a movement, I think, at the core of people who don't like what's been happening. The bank's too big to fail. The constant grind in D.C. where things aren't getting done. And the taxes out the wazoo. More importantly, besides the taxes, though, it's not as much about the taxes because that's what you automatically think when you hear Tea Party. Really, it's about the deficit. So this squarely is the thing that the Tea Party was complaining about and really was formed, all those rallies and whatnot. That's what this is a result of, it saying we don't want all this debt left behind. $14 trillion is $14 trillion too much. You know, and I've talked to now, as I'm trying to figure out, when we talk about this ad nauseum show after show, what is the reality? And you know what the reality is? It depends on who I talk to. Because some people with an economic bent that I talk to will say, oh, yeah, I mean, this is not good. This is not a good situation to be in, because as we keep getting downgraded, or we do get downgraded, like Standard & Poor's or Moody's, that probably will lower their ratings regardless even of what happens. So then we'll have interest rates that go higher. It'll be harder to get loans. The stock market will be volatile. And you're going to have an effect across the board almost immediately. You're going to see it. And part of that is, when they're talking about credit cards, in figuring that out, and all of you know this, if you have credit cards, there's that variable rate, which is what's really stung a lot of people. The APR, in other words. And that can change. The average APR, which is crazy how high it is, but 14, 16%. I mean, if you've got a 30% APR, you need to do yourself a favor, cut up that card, and get out of that card as fast as you can. I mean, I can't believe that people are carrying around that kind of 30%, but there, some people are. So, you know, here's the thing. You don't want to, of course, you don't want to see that go up. And anything, I guess this is the thing. If you have so you know this, because I wanted this explained to me to make sure that I had it right. You have your credit cards. If you have anything new that you put on them, if this situation changes and we're downgraded, basically, and this gives the credit cards an excuse to companies to jack the rates up, let's face it, that's why, isn't that convenient, the APR. We have this variable rates because it's part of the CARD Act of 2009. So what it means is, if we feel like jacking with you and we have a reason, we're going to do it. So now they have the reason to jack with you if you have a card. If you don't use the credit card, anything you already have on it, that can't be touched, whatever the balance is, whatever the amount they have. So you don't have to worry about that if you have an existing balance. So there's one thing cleared. If this happens, if something shoots up, whatever, just don't buy anything on credit unless it's desperate. You have no choice to do it. Just don't use the credit. And then you just have to, you know, to pay your bills on time. You have to pay the bills when they're due so that it doesn't go up, because if that happens, then they'll really have an excuse to shoot them high. But that's pretty much what credit cards are trying to do anyway. And then the other thing is the loans. And the loans already are tough to get. If you have a small business and you're trying to get a loan, you practically have to do a bloodletting when you go into the bank, or know somebody, or go to a smaller, friendlier bank wherever you live. If you go to the Pirates of Bank of America, forget it. You have to give them every piece of gold that you have in your pocket, and then maybe they'll help you. But the bigger banks, they're hanging on to the money anyway. So what is the reality? And the same with Social Security. Even many of you have called to say that. To clear up the Social Security thing, there is money for Social Security. There is no reason that people should not get their Social Security checks and to say, oh, we just can't pay our bills, that's it. I don't think so. Because it's a shell game and we know it. Yes, the tax revenues aren't coming in as big as they did previously, but it doesn't matter. When I say it doesn't matter, there's still other ways to skin a cat. So you have to look at it beyond face value. I mean, look, it's not a good situation to be in, and I don't think that anybody who fancies themselves a Tea Party person, I think you can't think this is good. I mean, really, do people want the country in this position? Do you want your country to be like this? Do you want to have crazy gas prices? Do you want to be controlled and manipulated by the markets? And the answer to that is no. Do you want health care that's ridiculously unaffordable? Do you want not to be able to get loans? You know, I could go through the list of questions, and I probably have about 50 of them, and I don't think anybody is really pushing for that. I mean, certainly I hope not. What happens on the second is a big deal. Initially, my gut feeling from all of my conversations, not just with the people that we have on the show at the top of the show every single night, but other people that I've talked to in Washington, is ultimately, because there's so much politics attached to this and election results and what is going to be said to the constituents about how they handled the deficit and the debt ceiling and the crisis, the financial crisis that we're constantly under. Ultimately, my feeling was, you know what, there's going to be a solution. In the end, there's going to be a solution, and this is the whole bravado thing where you get a chance to jump on the stump and say the other guy's an idiot and they're stupid and they're not really pulling the numbers together correctly, and I'm not going to write a blank check for them, and the American people shouldn't do it. Or on the other side, and that's what I thought, and that it would be solved in the end right before time was up. Now I'm not so sure. I think August 2nd comes and goes. I don't think anything happens. And if there's any reaction to it, if all these credit mafia people decide to do the downgrade thing, well, that's going to happen regardless, most likely, or it will happen days later. And I'm wondering that this whole debt ceiling conversation, is it part of your life? Is it, in other words, you're listening to me and you're driving a truck, you're barreling down the highway somewhere. You're listening to me and you're in college. You went back to college. You're trying to start a business. You have a business. You're working on the horse farm like my buddy Trey in Kentucky. Are you having this conversation daily in your households? When you're out with your buddies and you're talking about what happened in the NFL, because finally we're going to have a season and, geez, the camps are open and all that, you see what happened in free agency. After you have those kind of conversations, does the nonsense in Washington come up? I mean, there's got to be a better way to do this, first of all. And now, when you look at, you know, what the numbers are, it's like $14 trillion and trying to wrap your brain around $14 trillion. And we talk about reduction. But the funny thing is, when they say these big numbers, and then you actually go and look at the reduction, it's not as big as you think. It sounds good, but the numbers don't always work out. As we stated on a previous show, and that was one of the problems Boehner had, his number was different from the number that he was giving out. All I know is this. It's very simple. It's easy economics. You cannot continue to play in the red. You have to get back to black. We're talking brides next.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved, guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today. If you're concerned about radiation poisoning from Japan in the air, water, or food and can't find potassium iodide, go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com and choose Liquid Zeolite. Liquid Zeolite is hands down the best product to remove radiation from your body and safely removes toxins, heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. For fatigue, muscle weakness, headaches, memory loss, influenza, joint pain, or toxic radiation poisoning, use Liquid Zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Liquid Zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid Zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com or call 800-880-9976. Call 800-880-9976 today and learn how to get free bottles of Liquid Zeolite.
In 1965, this was the sound. One more time. One more time.
Welcome back to America Tonight with me, Kate Delaney, coast to coast and all those nooks and crannies in between. Of course, we're on a great station in Dallas, KKGM. And it's a big weekend in Dallas. Like in other parts of the country, they put on one heck of a bridal show. The woman behind that, Naomi Holm, joins us now. She's been on before with us, and we've talked bride speak and what's going on in the wedding world. I think it's fascinating. And I'm curious, Naomi, about, well, first of all, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Hi there.
And I'm curious about weddings. Are we seeing more weddings? I mean, you would know. You're in the business. Have people soured on marriage, or do you think more people are getting married?
You know, weddings will still happen no matter what takes place. I think there's still quite a few weddings, probably about the same as normal. It's always going to be around. People still get married.
There you go. But now it changes with the time. Sometimes people will spend crazy amounts of money, and they have the money so they can do that. Or sometimes people are more conservative because they want to put it into a house or do other things with it. I guess last year I read somewhere where the average couple spent just a little over $24,000. Now that's down a little bit, under $24,000. What are most people spending?
I think it is down just a little bit. I think with the tough economy that we're feeling in this market this year, there are some things that the brides are saving money on. There are still some things that they might spend quite a bit of money on, say their gown. They're still going to buy that nice gown, but they might save on some other items. Maybe they're using a simple headpiece instead of buying a veil. And maybe they're using some fun colored shoes, blinged out shoes, instead of their normal white, more expensive shoes. There's just all kinds of little things that we're seeing that they're saving money on. There may not be as many luxury items, may not be as many little extras, you know, and maybe less formal jewelry. No one's really doing purses now. So there's some things that they're just changing part of those items to be less expensive.
What about big bridal parties? Are girls still doing that, or guys still doing that, where they're getting a lot of groomsmen, or have they kind of cut down on the number of people, too?
I think part of some of those that are having to watch the budget are having less of the wedding party and less guests, so that saves on invitations, food, alcohol. There's just all kind of, it's kind of dominoes so that you're saving money in all those areas. So that is one of those areas, if someone's really needing to watch their budget, that is something that they're really paying attention to.
Yeah. How about, oh, this is a tough one to do, though. This is what everybody struggles with, men and women listening to America Tonight. I know all of you can relate to this because this sometimes leads to a bickering when you're trying to figure out who's on the list and who's not on the list of guests. Are you seeing that, too? Do you think people are trimming the guest list because you'd save money?
I think that's a tough one no matter what. I think no matter how many they're planning on, the bride and the groom are both wanting everyone in their family, all of their friends, to be there. And so when you're having to cut back, that's tough. It makes it tough all the way around.
Yeah, you know what you do? You get out a quarter and you flip it and you decide
yeah.
on this. We really love them, but they're on the cut line, honey. I got to throw them up.
I know, they're all my friends, but which one's more important? That's tough.
It is. I think it's tough. I think coming up with those lists is tough anyway because sometimes you don't even realize, but you leave people off and you don't even mean to do it. And it leads to all kinds of crazy things. I think that's one of the hardest things that you have to do when it comes to weddings. I've always wondered this because, you know, you and I have talked a few times and I never asked you this. I don't know why. How long have you been in the bridal business?
Since 1988.
Ooh,
so a few years now.
Yeah. So you've seen some trends. I mean, they've gotten away from the big hair, right?
I think I have heard that that may be coming back. Have you heard that?
No, are you
kidding? I hope not, but I've heard that.
When you first started to do this, what made you, did you just like the whole idea of weddings and it was a good business opportunity? What got you involved in this game?
I think it was just a combination of factors. We had someone in this area that had come to us and telling us that there were no big bridal shows. There were just all these little bitty hotel small shows, and it was one of those things that just kind of fell in place to do it right, to do a big show, and that's how it started.
Wow. And since 88, so
yes,
you
ma'am.
Really have seen, you have really seen the trends then. And usually I'm focusing on the bride, but at the bridal shows, is there ever anything about the guys?
We do have stuff for the guys, and you'll be amazed to see that even though there may be fewer guys that come in, every once in a while we'll hear that the groom is planning the wedding. And it's not a lot of them, but every once in a while that does happen, which is a little unusual, but it makes it kind of fun.
No kidding. I would have liked that. Hear
some
that, guys?
Really get involved in that.
Get involved in it. All right, coming up here on America Tonight, we're going to give you some statistics on marriage and where some things are headed. But this has been a pleasure. Naomi Holm, of course, with the Dallas Bridal Show. We wish you the best rolling this thing out again.
Thank you so much for having me on, and have a wonderful evening.
You know, it's interesting in having her on because it's all positive and with all the negative news, sadly, that we're dealing with constantly. As I say, it's water cooler buzz and what's happening in your own backyard. There still are people that are optimistic, young people that are getting married. But I was looking, and it's so tough to get statistics on where we are as far as a nation, as far as divorce is concerned, or more people deciding to remain single. There's always the people that will tell you that marriages, that half of all marriages end in divorce. Of course, if you look at Hollywood, almost all of those seem to end in divorce, but that's a different world. And we're talking about people with huge egos and a different amount of money than the rest of us in the real world. They say, though, that still it's under scrutiny, the number's under scrutiny, and pretty murky, but really it's somewhere in the 47%. So just a couple of clicks off that 50, I don't know. Maybe it's a reason to be optimistic. I was looking up some old statistics, and they say that what happened is in the 70s it all changed because more women started to go to college. They were delaying getting married, and that frankly changed a lot of things. And, for example, about 23% of college graduates who married in the 70s actually broke up within 10 years. For people who got married, some of you guys are laughing, and you may be into your second or third marriage, I don't know. For those who wed in the 90s, it's a different statistic. That rate dropped to 16%. And every error was different. It just depended on when you got married. And I think that what we're seeing more than the marriage numbers and the divorce numbers, one thing to me is kind of clear that even men, and we had a guest on last week, and that's why it was interesting to do this. We had a guest on last week who talked about the fact that more men were choosing to be single, and once they hit a certain age, once they hit about 40, because you're set in your ways, it's much tougher to make that commitment because you don't want to change your ways. You know, you want to watch every single sport known to man, and you don't want to do the things that she wants to do. You don't want to walk around the mall and look for jewelry, frankly. Not to stereotype anyone, but I think those numbers are even the more interesting numbers. How many people, okay, we know people are waiting, but how many people then get to a point where they wait and they say, forget about it. It's not worth it for me to take the old plunge because I like things the way they are and I don't mind having somebody in my life, but I don't want to take it any further than that. And then, of course, the other statistic that you would look at would be children and how many people have children or want to have children, because that would change that. I think that would change those statistics as well. That's why, of course, in the second or third marriage, a lot of times that doesn't matter. That's not usually the case. Usually the first marriage, children, and then second and third, a little bit different. But the trends are interesting and very tough. I talked to a researcher even at Harvard that was working on a 10-year project and trying to figure out the divorce rates versus the marriage rates. And it's very, very tricky because not all states collect marriage information. So the numbers change, but sources and methods and trying to come up for whatever the trend is pretty tough stuff. Hey, if you had any thoughts on the show, send them to me. You know where to go. AmericaTonight.net. Click on the email and bada bing. As my friend Tony Soprano would say, you're in.